Blog Talk Radio.
Out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Out on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Another place where we're bringing forces to power.
To the rail. Hip hop.
Also on Facebook. You can just type in HuntsvilleBlack.com and get us on there also as well. We are bringing forces. Editors and business partners.
Okay, this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I talk with Lawrence County's own Monica McKelvey. Monica McKelvey is a 20-year financial services industry veteran and former contracted employee of the U.S. Department of Education. She is a native of Lawrence County, Alabama. McKelvey holds a B.S. in accounting from Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a successful entrepreneur with several businesses in the Atlanta area. McKelvey is on a mission to close the college gap for women and minorities. She is also CEO and co-founder of McKelvey Financial Services, which offers a wide variety of financial services from defaulted student loan repayment, money for college, and tax preparation. She can help you achieve the dream of attending college and show you the smart way to borrow money for colleges so that you don't have the hassle of huge repayment of student loans. McKelvey Financial Services will also help you with all the necessary steps in attending college from beginning to end. Services that MFS offers this tax preparation so that you can prepare for your FAFSA, for student loans and Pell Grants. So please feel free to contact Monica McKelvey at McKelveyFinancialServices@gmail.com, on Facebook at McKelvey Financial Services, or by phone. Monica McKelvey also does speaking engagements and seminars for college funding. Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Marcus. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning. Yes, I can hear you now. How are you
good
doing?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great here in Alabama. How's the weather over there in Georgia?
It's a little rainy, but, you know, the sun's still shining.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to get some here this weekend, too. So tell us a little you want to give about yourself or about your company?
Well, I started my company after leaving the industry this year with U.S. Department of Education, just because I noticed the public itself did not have a lot of knowledge on things that you needed to know as far as attending college and especially paying back your student loans. And so it gave me a great insight on making the Black community more aware and women more aware of, you know, the things that they needed to do in order to go to college and save money.
Yes, and we all know that because we know about the massive debt that incurs when you go to college, and companies like yours helping people, you know, from the beginning to the end to take the right steps. I think that's great.
Correct.
And so do you guys do hands-on with FAFSA assistance?
Yes, we do. We do hands-on with FAFSA, depending on, you know, your tax preparation being filed, whether you are a dependent student, non-dependent, in-state, out-of-state. So we, as I said, we help you from the beginning of the paperwork until the end of the paperwork to make sure that you have all the necessities that you need in order to attend college.
Yes, and that's also been shown to increase enrollment and persistence also, too. I think back to the H&R Block FAFSA experiment, and they increased the application rate by 40% and college enrollment by 29%. So that hands-on that you're talking about that your company does, that goes a long way.
Yes,
and
knowledge.
Also, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say knowledge is the key. The more you know, the more comfortable you feel in wanting to go to school. A lot of parents feel like they can't achieve or they can't assist when really there are a lot of opportunities and loans and scholarships out there. Even if you're not an A student, you can possibly still a lot of large companies such as Coca-Cola offer handwritten scholarships. If you write an essay, you can still, you know, maybe acquire $500,000, and that will help towards, you know, books and things of that nature, or whatever you want to use the money for.
Yes, that's so true. I personally myself, I like the president's plan, President Obama's plan, when he was talking about too few low-income students apply to attend colleges and universities, that's the best fit for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you get a high result, a high level in academic mismatch. If people get in there and they get over their heads, this person,
right.
Everybody is not Alabama or Spelman bound. They might have
right.
to, especially if they want to stay local, they might want to go and get this skill degree, especially if you live in an area where that skill is needed. You could stay home, go to their local college,
mm-hmm.
and get that degree. And that would be the best match for you instead of going off to college and it's not a good match and you get discouraged and you never go back, or it's very hard for you to get back. So,
well, my company looks at the whole realm of it. It's cheaper to go to school in-state than out-of-state, of course. And then also, you know, you may not want to go to a four-year college. You may want to go to a two-year, you know, and receive an associate's degree or a certificate, either one. So we try to find out, you know, what is best match for you. We, you know, ask questions and evaluate the situation and, you know, transportation. You have to think about all of that, you know, staying on campus, off campus, because all that makes a difference in the cost. And so if you, you know, don't want to go to a four-year university and you want to go to a two-year university, or if you just want a certificate, all those are possible. You just need to know what is best for you. And you brought up one point about President Obama. He has made a lot of changes that a lot of people are not aware of, and I guess because I worked in that sector, I'm aware of a lot of things, such as repaying your student loans. If you are unemployed, he has a repayment plan that was passed through Congress. He fought very hard to get this passed through because, you know, a lot of people were, their student loan debt was their biggest problem. You know, their student loan debt was more than their mortgage or more than their rent. But
yes,
now payments for student loans are based solely upon your income. So say if you're making $20,000 a year and you have two people in your household, you know, yourself and a dependent, then your payments are solely based upon what you make instead of you struggling trying to pay more than what you can afford.
Yes.
For example, I have one client that I, her payments, we were able to get them at $5 a month.
That's very helpful.
You know, it is. It's very helpful, and then your income is evaluated again the following year. So once a year, you do your income evaluation to determine, you know, what your payments will be. You know, say if you get married, you know, then your income changes, of course. So it's a lot of factors in that. But that came into play in 2012, I believe, is when he made this possible. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, and it also sounds like it would help a lot of people out, too, with their credit. I mean, don't they get credit for making those payments, even if it is a $5 payment, it's current and steady and stuff today. So that sounds like it should also help on the backside when it comes to the credit.
Yes, it does help the credit as well. So the only way that it really kind of hurts your credit is saying if you're in default. If you're in a default status, you have to make that 9 to 12-month payment arrangement in order for it to be updated on your credit report. They make you wait the whole entire time until you're out of default. But once you're out of default, then that negative mark on your credit report is wiped away, and then it shows you back in good standing with Department of Education and also on your credit report. So at that point in time, you can also go back to college if you desire to, you know, because sometimes student loans and the payment and all that, you know, it deters people from wanting to go back and finish.
Yeah. And they also, too, if you're repaying a student loan and you didn't finish, you should go back.
Right.
Number one, you should go back to finish for your own personal goal. And number two, also, I think your payments stop. If you actively enrolled in at full time, you can get a waiver on that payment. So there's more incentive to take advantage of.
A lot of people do not know. The general public does not know that when you're in school, you should put your loans into an in-school deferment. And that way you do not have to pay anything until you graduate, withdraw from school. So it's 6 months after you've either graduated or either you have withdrawal, but you have to start making those payments back. So, yes, being in school is one of the helpful things, you know, about not making any payments at that point in time.
Okay, tell me this. This is something that I don't know. I always wondered about. What about a person who owes a student loan, but they become disabled? Did they pass anything to help those people out that become disabled?
Yes. Yes, it is a lengthy process. It takes about 3 to 6 months. But what you have to do is if you owe student loans and you became permanently 100% disabled and you have a doctor that can sign off on the necessary paperwork, you have to send that in within an allotted time. They give you a time frame. If you go out of that time frame, then the process starts all over again from beginning to end. But, yes, if you are 100% permanently disabled, then you can have your student loans written off. Other than that, student loans follow you until the day you die. Also,
okay, there's a...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask, did McKelvey Financial Services, do y'all take the disabled participants through that process, or
yes.
That's just general information? Okay, you also do that as well?
Yes, we also do that as well, yes. But here's the thing that you need to know, or that, you know, people need to know, that say you're 25 and you have student loans, and you don't pay them back, you know, for years, years and years, and then you get to 62, 65, and you're starting to get Social Security. If you do not make a payment arrangement, Department of Education will take 10% of that Social Security check each month to pay those student loans. So, you know, that's information that people need to know, because, you know, I've had clients that are, you know, in that age range, you know, 62, even 80, 85, and Department of Education is garnishing my check. They will do it. They do not care about the age range at all. They want the funds back. But if you're at that age range and you call and make a voluntary payment arrangement, then they will not offset the Social Security.
Wow, that's great. Cause,
mm-hmm.
Like you said, you're just a number, and they know that you owe them, so the age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The age doesn't. Student loans are non-dischargeable. Even if you file bankruptcy, they're non-dischargeable. So there's nothing that you can do except for to expire to get rid of them. You know, you have to pay it back, or that Department of Education, that entity, will keep coming after you for years and years and years. And that interest just keeps compiling and compiling and compiling.
Okay, so it sounds like you're right in line with the White House initiative by increasing opportunity for low-income students. And that's great. That's mainly what I do here at Bringing Voices to Power, is helping people that's at the margins. People that are at the margins, you know, it can be low-income or, like you said, women or the elderly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because those people need, and they lack, the guidance and support
mm-hmm.
to prepare for the college and to get their student loans straightened out, because this stuff can hold you for a lifetime. Like you said, somebody 80 years old makes getting 10% of their money.
Yes, yes. So, and, you know, like I said, doing this job for 20 years, I saw a lot of things. And when you're, you know, working in, you know, corporate America, if you want to maintain and do your job, you have to hold aside your personal feelings. And it just really bothered me inside that I couldn't, you know, say anything in order to maintain my job. You know, but this is Congress, this is government, this is what they passed, and in order, you know, for me to maintain, that's what I had to do. But, you know, I often said, if I ever got to an opportunity where about I can enlighten the public and I can do something about it, then I would. And so this is part of, you know, my mission is knowledge of this information is key. The more you know, the better off you will be.
Yes, and when you, like you said, when you couldn't speak up about it and you couldn't talk about it and help about it, you know, that just give you a feeling you don't feel complete. Now that you're doing what you love to do, it's a whole different feeling that you get from it. And that's what I experienced with this, you know, bringing voices to power. I always thought about, okay, here's a person or sector or group of people that are going through this right here, and there's nobody, like you said, educating them, speaking to them, bringing their causes out there. And so I just decided to do it. I think nobody else will do it, then I'll do it. I'll talk about the issues they don't want to talk about. Now somebody has to.
Right. And I, you know, I commend you very much for what you are doing. It's very enlightening.
Oh, yes, it is. But Yes, it is, and it's very hard too. I had a guy on, Andrew Craig from the Justice Integrity Project, based out of Washington D.C., and he said he gave me the best quote that personified everything that I've learned from doing this. You know, talking about these issues and bringing it up. He said it's like walking a tightrope without a net, with people throwing blindfolded, with people throwing rocks at you. And then when you get almost to the end, that helping hand that reaches out that you think is there to help you is actually going to be there to push you over. So
that,
I feel
that
like that.
It's
very hard when you do things like that, and especially we talk about the media and things like that in Alabama. It's very hard, very, very hard to speak up about institutions and ways that government makes money off of people and suppress information. So tell me about some of the things that you're doing to create relationships with high school students, like early intervention type things. How early are you catching them? Because you know by the eighth grade, you're going to decide, you can tell if that kid's going to go to college or if he's adequately prepared for college. You can sort of see what that mindset is, the interest.
One of the things that McKelvey Financial Services does is we do speaking engagements and seminars, and we do start inviting parents at the age of, you know, when their student is in the eighth grade, because at that point in time, you need to be starting on the right track. You need to be looking at where we're going from here. What are we going to do, you know, once you have graduated? You don't need to wait until that 11th or 12th grade year. You need to be going ahead now and, you know, looking towards what's coming up, because college can be expensive, but if you take your time and start off right, then, you know, you can make it an easier and smoother transition. So, you know, we will evaluate. And also, if you need to take the SAT, if you need to practice, or if you, you know, we will find an agency that will help you to tutor for the SATs. We will tell you where placement dates are as far as, you know, taking the class and, you know, practice tests and things of that nature. So, you know, as I said, we do start from beginning to the end of McKelvey Financial Services, helping you to get on the right track as far as the things you need to go to college.
Yes, and that could be very helpful. They need you here in this area, because when you intervene like that, high school seniors who receive that type of assistance, they're 8 to 10 percentage points more likely to have completed a two-year college. And we have a great two-year college here in the area. We have several, actually. And so
Before moving here to Atlanta and attending Spelman, I went to Calhoun, John C. Calhoun, for 2 years. So, like I said, you know, you can transition from one to another, or you can stay, you know, with the two-year university. It just all depends on what is your comfort level, what is going to make you strive and do better and go forward, because not everyone is an Alabama or Auburn, you know, type of person, or, you know, even A&M. So you never know.
Yeah.
Alabama State, some people don't like the large classrooms or the large crowds, you know, or being away from home. Or, you know, already if you have a job and you want to work and go to college, you may need to stay, you know, closer to home. So we sit down and evaluate that with the student and with the parent to see what kind of direction and guidance they need and they want.
Right now I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I will did you know, I was going to ask you about the Expanding College Opportunities Project. Are you familiar with, I heard somebody tell me some things about it and how it was supposed to be fee waivers provided to high-achieving, low-income students or families. I don't know much about that. But on the other side of this break, I want you to tell us about it. We're going to take a break. I'm going to play some Aura Sisters.
Okay. I love the Aura Sisters.
this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I've been talking with Monica McKelvey. She's a 20-year financial service industry veteran and former contract employee from the United States Department of Education. She has a B.S. in accounting from Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, Monica, before the break, I was wanting to know more about, it may be a relatively new project, but it's called the Expanding College Opportunities Project.
Yes.
And I didn't know much about it. My friend was telling me about it, and I didn't get, you know, all of it. But it sounded like a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is a process that Department of Education has come into play where about you can waive your application fees, you know, for low-income students that are wanting to go to college. This act also encourages students to go to colleges that are more likely to have higher graduation rate than other colleges. And that way it keeps you interested in attending the school. And if you are lower income than the average, you're afforded more opportunities for you to go to a particular college than versus others. So it has a lot of pros about it.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good project to be involved in. And I can just imagine by doing something like that, you could increase the numbers of college applications.
Right, correct. Because that is a big...
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes low-income families, a lot of people realize something as simple as that could stop somebody from, you know, it's paying the light bill this versus paying this, you know, hundred or couple of hundred to get into this college. And it's, they'll be so easy to say, well, we'll just wait next semester.
Right. Yes.
But what I like about it is they're covering everything to try to get people motivated and into college.
Yes. So, you know, because application fees can be really expensive. Marcus?
I know. When I went to school, it was like $50, but there's no telling. If, with the rate of inflation, there's no telling. Well, is there anything else? How can somebody contact you before we get too far out there or before you have to go? Tell us how people can contact you and use your services and where you're located.
I can be contacted by email at McKelveyFinancialServices@gmail.com. I can also be contacted on Facebook, McKelvey Financial Services. Also, you can call my cell at 678-761-4223 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Okay, that's great. Is anything else you want to add to about filling out for your FAFSA or anything you think may be important for our listeners?
Oh, there's so much that is.
Did you say you do free public workshops working with students and families?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Are you do that state or just within state?
It all depends. I will travel the local area, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia. You know, outside of that area, we would have to discuss because we are a small company that is growing, you know, vastly. So we may have a representative that, you know, would be in the Florida area or somewhere of that nature, Kentucky. So we're growing, you know, quite fast.
Okay, that's great. Okay, anything else you want to add?
No, I do thank you for, you know, having me on your show, and I want to say that, you know, you have done some remarkable things, and I'm quite pleased to know you and the things that you are doing.
Well, I'm just a person struggling on the grassroots level. I tell people I can talk about it and work in it so much because I lived it, experienced it, or seen it with my own eyes, and it's just a move. I just made a move to take everything. The journalism was my first love. When I went to A&M, I was president of Sociology Criminal Justice Club, as well as the sports, the newspaper. And I loved my journalism workshop classes. I loved it. So I'm always at, and then gravitated a little bit over to politics, you know, college politics. I mean, you went to Spelman. You know how college politics can get.
Yeah.
And I was really involved in that. And so that's how I gravitated to doing exactly what I'm doing. Like I said, it's a hard process, you know. And you just have to be dedicated. A person can only do this thing that I'm doing. I'm nobody special. There's a lot of people out there like me. But a person has to, they have to
love
to do it because I'm telling you, it's a lot of pressure. But I love it. I operate better under pressure. And I appreciate the compliment, and I like everything that you're doing because this information that you're giving out and what your company is doing is so vital. It is so vital, especially, you know, working with the president's plan to increase enrollment among low-income families. I mean, that's exactly what we need right now. And I appreciate your work doing.
Not a problem at all. I say this, and then I, you know, we'll let you finish. A lot of parents don't know about the waiver. You know, you can apply to more than one college, you know, and not have to pay the application fee, you know, and because you want to have a variety of schools to choose from. And when you're paying for four or five different schools, you know, at $65, $75, that can be expensive. But it's possible you can qualify for that waiver.
Okay, that's important information that they need to have. And like I said, feel free to share this episode. I mean, you can have listening. You have a listening party with this show. One thing I want to tell you, I was supposed to play our other hometown friend, Nisha Sharpley, one of her songs. I love that song. It was like Let the People Shout. I bought that thing last night and then lost it somewhere on my computer, but I'm sorry about that, Nisha. I'm definitely going to get that song on the next show. But right now, I'm going to take us out with everything with the Orr Sisters. And Monica, I appreciate you being on, and you're always welcome back.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.